You have an opportunity this morning to hear from someone who's been walking with the Lord a long time. So let's give him our full attention. Papa John.
Okay. Is that a little close?
Not really.
Okay, I'll leave that up to the sound guys. I count it a real privilege. Oh, I can't see. To be able to share this with you. Out of my heart, I want to talk to you this morning about receiving a gift, a great, great gift. And I want to emphasize the word receive. The gift is there. It's been there for a long time. But a lot of times people don't receive what's theirs. Let's pray first. Would you pray that God would flow through this old, old body? That he would cause his word to be powerful and living for us today. So I'm going to be praying. Would you reach out your hands and pray for me? Father, thank you for this opportunity. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will come today in a very, very real and powerful, full way. Make your word living and powerful, piercing to the very depths of our hearts. Lord, let it be for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Now, I'm going to put my watch up here. If my wife was still alive, she would be saying, folks, it doesn't mean a thing. But she's in heaven now, and I do want to not go too long. And I'm going to have to ask the Lord to help me. I see a few children here. And I see a whole bunch of big children. Because with God, we are children. Little children that he loves greatly. I have to have AIDS, not the disease, but I got hearing aids, seeing aids, I got a walking aid, it's called a cane, and I used to have a running aid, it was called a car, but they won't let me drive it anymore. Okay. When I was 7 years old, my mother caught me stealing something out of her purse one day. She was a godly woman, and God led her, instead of spanking me, to sit me down on the sofa and explain that that was sin against God. And that God loved me so much that he sent Jesus to die on that cross to pay for all that sin on his own body and on his own soul. And now he could offer me total forgiveness and he would come into my heart and my life by his Spirit. 7 years old, children can understand that. God made the good news, the gospel, so beautifully simple, that huge gospel that is beyond human comprehension is simple enough for a child to understand and receive and experience. It was very real to me. She just led me in a simple prayer, inviting Jesus Christ to come in, forgive my sin, and to come and live in my heart. I can still remember that today. It was real. It was vivid. I didn't have a great emotion, but it was real. And I thank God for that. Now, it sure didn't make me perfect. Oh, man, no. But it made me different, because I now had Jesus living his life with me in partnership in my old, I mean, in my young body, and even when it's old. Let's have that first scripture. This is Jesus speaking. But as many as what? Come on, respond. Received him. To them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name. Now watch this. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. Now I presume, I think pretty safely, that we have all been born of the flesh. We have bodies. But God said it's got to be more than that. We have to be born spiritually as well as physically. The next one. There was a man of Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know, that means master, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, now, this is amazing. Most assuredly. Now, when Jesus said most assuredly, that is for real, big time. I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time his mother's womb and be born? I think he's being a little sarcastic here, isn't he? Anyhow, what's going on, hey? Jesus answered, I say to you, most assuredly, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, physically and spiritually, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That still stands, folks. Today, no matter who you are, whether you're religious or irreligious, we must be born spiritually. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said unto you, you must be born again, or born from above. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. This is an eternal truth, folks. And Satan hates it because he loses people through this. and he tries to dumb it down. And he tries to keep the church from speaking it and emphasizing it and leading people into a new spiritual birth. Let's go to the next one. Jesus goes on speaking to Nicodemus, and this is what he says to this very, very religious man, very sincere, very, very well educated in the scriptures. I'm sure Nicodemus was attending a synagogue every week and a temple in Jerusalem again and again, keeping all the laws. But this is what Jesus said. Whosoever believes in him, in Jesus, the Son of God, should not perish but have, what? Eternal life. For God so loved the world. That word so in there is important. It means God loved the world so greatly, so deeply, so eternally, so incomprehensibly, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's the gospel, if you can say, in a nutshell. Yes, God loves every one of us. He caused us to be conceived, to be born, to live. He wanted us. He loves us completely, in a sense, unconditionally. And he did something huge about it. He became flesh and dwelt among us. The Almighty Creator of the galaxies, of the universe, of the tiniest subatomic particles, that God created us to be his children. It says he created us in his likeness, in his image. And he is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Man is a Trinity, body, soul, and spirit. And in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, it says God breathed into man, into Adam, and subsequently into Eve, his own spirit. And so man was created to have God's spirit in his spirit, filling him and fellowshipping and enjoying one another, close relationship. But Satan came along, deceived them, they sinned, and the Spirit of God had to leave Adam and Eve, because the Spirit of God is holy and he cannot be united with sin. And that's why the Bible says Adam and Eve died the same day that they sinned. But they lived many, many years afterwards, but spiritually they died. And God still loved them. And right away, God promised that the seed of the woman, which is speaking of Christ, would be his Savior of the world. He has loved us all along, until finally, in the fullness of time, He came in flesh and dwelt among us. That's who Jesus is and nothing less. He is God manifest in the flesh. The word manifest means fully revealed, fully communicated. And he came as a tiny little newborn baby. Oh, the humility of God astounds me. But he came so he could go through the whole gamut of physical life. He didn't come as an angel. He didn't come as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to begin with. There came a time when he died on that cross for our sins. Oh, I better get moving here. Romans 5, 8 and 9. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I want to shout that. Christ died for us, much more than having been now justified by his blood. And the word justified means made righteous by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. And then the next one, Romans 6, 23. This is the both sides of the gospel. The wages of sin is death. Don't forget to warn people. But, and I love that word in there, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gift of God. Wages of sin. You get the wages. But then, he came and took all our sin on his own body on that cross. Paid for it all. He took our sin, our guilt, our death, our hell, and rose again the third day. It is now a living Savior and saying, I did all that so you can have a gift. You don't work for salvation. You don't earn it. There's nothing you can do. It's a free gift to sinners like us. But it has to be received. Otherwise, you don't have it. And the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is eternal death. Okay, Luke 11, 9 to 13. This is before he died. He's prophesying what is going to be our free gift and our inheritance in Christ. Jesus was saying, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Is that a promise? Yeah. Knock. It's in there somewhere, yeah. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from a father among you, will that father give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will that father give him a serpent instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will the father offer him a scorpion? Now that's obvious. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, if you're normal. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit, say it out loud, Holy Spirit, to those who ask him. Now, the Greek, in the Greek text, the verb tense is a present progressive verb tense. And it means you ask and ask. You seek and keep seeking. You knock and you keep knocking. Why? Because God is reluctant? No, because he has a perfect time for each one of us. But the promise is sure. It is absolutely certain God will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Revelation 3:20. This is the risen Christ speaking to the church quite a while after he had risen from the dead and ascended to heaven. And there's a certain church there in Revelation 3 called the Laodicean Church. That church said, oh, we're rich and increased with goods. I have need of nothing. And Jesus had to say, no, you're lukewarm and you make me sick. Imagine Jesus saying that to a bunch of church people. Listen, I think especially in North America, well, there's a lot of the church that is just lukewarm. And they're taken up with so many things. The pursuit of health, happiness, entertainment. No, I'm not here to condemn you. But that church in Laodicea thought they were doing great. And to Jesus, it broke his heart. It made him sick. And he says to the people. Now this is Jesus speaking to church people who thought they were fine. But he doesn't say this to the whole group. He says this to individuals. Now listen to what he says. And listen to see if he may be saying this to you. Behold, that means look, stop, look, and listen. I stand at the door and knock. I call you. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him or her and dine with him. The word dine means have a feast. And he with me. Together, close, intimate. And I believe that God is saying this to much of the Canadian North American church. You're going to church. I believe there's one great danger by being born in a Christian family. Because they send you to Sunday school and you hear it from a little kid all the way up. You hear it, you know it, you kind of believe it in your mind. And maybe you have never received the great gift of eternal life. Forgiveness, salvation. And it's up to the individual. Romans 10:9-10. Oh, that clock is moving. Now, this is really important, that if you just believe with your mind. Is that what it said? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, not in your head, that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's another guarantee. That's another promise. You will be saved. Saved from what? Eternal death. Guilt. For with the heart, it's got to be in here. One believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I've composed a prayer that we're going to pray when I'm finished. And I'm going to give every one of you a chance to confess with your mouth what you really believe in your heart, and God will hear it and he will accept it. Supposing you went into court and you were called to defend yourself and you wouldn't speak, you wouldn't utter a word. The judge could not help you. Your defending attorney couldn't help you. You have to say. It's got to come out of your mouth before the judge of the whole universe. A judge who is eager, eager, and that's an understatement, and eager to forgive you and to give you eternal life. And his spirit coming in you, Jesus by his spirit, coming inside of little old you and little old me. Isaiah 53, 5 and 6. This is the core of the gospel. And in 1 Corinthians, it says the preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. Our good news, our wonderful message, has got to contain the price that Jesus paid to forgive us our sins and come into us by his Spirit. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. Yes? Do you believe that? He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Do you confess that? Do you admit that? God says it. We've all gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord God, Father, laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. That's the good news. That's his promise. Okay. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. This is really dangerous. This is serious. We're not playing around here. Happy, happy, happy. How shall we escape if we just neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord himself and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Just neglect to receive. I didn't put it in my book, Astounding Promise, but the Lord gave me an illustration. I think I'm hearing him say, just briefly give it this. Picture this. It's Christmas time, and this family has a 15, 16-year-old boy, just got his driver's license, and his driver's training. Better not leave that out. And he is just enthralled, enthralled with little sport cars, you know, a little racy sport car. And it's his dream, and he talks about them and has pictures of them and so on. So his parents, they must be fairly well-to-do, buy him a little sports car for Christmas. And so, and they're all around the tree. They say, come on outside for a minute. And here's this cute little sports car sitting there. And they said, this is our gift to you. And he's thrilled. He's absolutely thrilled. It's beyond his imagination. And so he turns to them and says, oh, thank you. I'm going to get a job and I'll pay you so much a month until it's all paid for. And the parents will say, no. Yeah, no, no, no. It's paid for. We paid for it. It's yours. You don't have to pay us back. Just love us. Be thankful. Be grateful. Accept, receive our gift. Some people get the wrong idea about becoming a Christian and getting to heaven. It's not coming to church and paying your 20 or your 20. It's not coming and doing your thing. It's not being trying to be as good as you can. It is a totally free, paid for gift to those of us who will admit we are sinners and we need forgiveness and eternal life. If we neglect to receive, that means we don't have this priceless gift yet. It's sitting there waiting. And that young man has got to accept the keys and go in and start it up and drive it and enjoy it and receive it. Okay. Acts 1, 4 and 5. Being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have already heard from me. For John truly be baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, the word baptize in Greek means immersion. It's what you do when you wash dishes. It's what you do with the kid when you have to have a bath. You're going to be immersed. Oh, absolutely filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. God not only has his Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, to come into you and make you a genuine child of God, and you receive and you speak it out before the court of heaven, but he also has the gift of the Holy Spirit's fullness to fill you, to overflow with you. Jesus, and it is not on the screen, said in John 7, no, not yet. Okay. Jesus said, come unto me, if you're thirsty, come unto me and drink. And the verb tense there is drink and drink and drink. And he said, if you do that, out of your innermost being will flow rivers, plural, of living water flowing out from you in different directions to different people, to different families, to your community, to the people you work with or study with. an overflowing of rivers. You come to Jesus and he can produce out of you rivers of living water to those around you. This is what he has. This is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's for you. It's a gift. It's an invitation. It is a command. It is not optional. It's what Jesus died for, that we might experience. Now, okay, now with the prayer. I am going to stand, and I'm going to ask you to stand in a moment. And I've written it out so that we could together say it out loud. Remember Romans 10, say it with our mouth. I invite you right now to stand. Now, just saying it is not what this is all about. This is giving you a chance to say it out loud before Almighty God from your heart. It's got to be not just an empty statement. Now, I'll leave that up to you and God, but let him hear your voice. Are you ready? Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you are the Son of God and that you were crucified to pay for all my sin and that you rose from the dead to be my living Lord and Savior. I receive your crucifixion and resurrection for my forgiveness and my salvation. Jesus, I open my heart and my whole life to you. I hope God is hearing that out loud from your heart. Let's go on. Come into me by your Spirit and fill me to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. I now receive your promise and thank you from the bottom of my heart. And you say, amen. Now, when you receive a wonderful gift, just take a few moments now, out loud or whatever, you can cry or laugh or say, thank him. Thank you is the language of receiving. I want is the language of asking. Go from asking to receiving. Oh, Father, thank you for doing this to us. Thank you. Ask him. Don't just sit there. I mean, stand there. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your great, great love, for your great salvation. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us while we were still sinners. Thank you for dying for our sins. Thank you for giving your Spirit to us as a gift, free gift. Lord, fill us. Let the Holy Spirit be poured out upon many of these people here today. I ask it in the power of your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.